you would, Luke, the Gospel of Luke in the 22nd chapter. That is Luke chapter 22. I thank God for His Word this morning and what we learned from the book of Joel. And I thank you for coming back tonight after everything that we talked about this morning. Thank you for being faithful. There are things from God's Word we need to be reminded of. Somebody told me this afternoon, he said, you shot everything that moved this morning. There was a couple things I didn't get to, but then the next words out of his mouth, you should have shot some things that didn't move too. That's a blessing, but I thank you for your faithfulness, folks. We've got to understand what's at stake. We've got to be faithful in it. Now let's just anchor ourselves in the rock of God and see what He will do for us in our life. We'll read some verses from Luke 22 in just a moment. Before we do, let me just remind us again about what we're going to do tonight. I mentioned last week that we were going to try to do the Lord's Supper tonight. We tried it several weeks ago. Something came up a Sunday night before Easter. Something came up, and we were not able to do that night. And I just like us being able to acknowledge what Christ did for us. So in a little while, we're going to do things very, very much different. And you're going to be okay with it, I assure you. Don't worry about it. Don't be nervous about it at all. But we're going to do some things a little different. You work with us as we work through this. But as you've gotten to know me over these past few years, you have learned that I'm just not comfortable with us just making this such a ritualistic time. I think sometimes that the church has gotten to where we just tag this thing on to the end of the service and it's not a special time. And so therefore, I search for ways to be able to find the Lord's Supper to be a very special time to all of us in our lives. In so many different ways, it has become so much of a rushed and a robotic, a ritualistic time of ceremony instead of a repentant and a revered and a remembering time of celebration. And I pray and I ask the Lord, God, give us guidance, something fresh, something new to keep this special time in our hearts. So tonight I do want us to do things a little bit different, and I invite you and I really desire that you'll join me as we consider these things, as we remember what our Lord did for us on Calvary's cross. Friend, don't ever get over being saved. Don't ever get over what Christ did for us. When we start to get over it, when it starts to become just cold to us and something that we just don't put an emphasis on anymore, we're heading down a path that is, so dangerous. That's the problem, I believe, with the church today. We've gotten over what the Lord did for us. So tonight, let's set everything aside and let's be reminded again of what Calvary really is, what really happened for us on the cross when Christ died for us. Again, we may do this a little bit different, but you stick with me, we'll be all right. If you're physically able, rise to your feet if you would as we honor the public reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 22. I hope you found your place. Let's begin in verse number 14, if you would, please. And when the hour was come, he, that is Jesus, sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, I like these words, with desire I have desired. Isn't that an interesting statement? It's actually a very profound statement. I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, he says. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What's he mean by that? We'll see in just a moment. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse number 19 says, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for who? For you. Underscore that. This is my body that was given for John. My body that was given for James, for Randy, for Alice. Says it was given for you. This is my body that was given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, thank God for that, the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let me draw our attention back to the final words of verse number 19. This do in remembrance of me. And I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on making memories. Making memories. Now, Holy Father, again, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I ask for your help tonight. I pray that you would touch us and you would challenge us tonight from your word. Convict us. May we get things right. May we repent and understand the importance of what we're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm sure that it'll be a surprise to all of you that back when Melissa and I were dating, she loved to take pictures. Matter of fact, every opportunity she had, she would take a photograph of our life. Every new shirt that I would wear, she would take a photograph of it. Every corner that we would turn, she would take a picture of that corner. Every new place we would go, everything that we would do, she would make a picture of it. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, many of you have learned this, but sometimes it just got downright exhausting. And in many cases, even very, very frustrating. Over the years, very little, should I say nothing, has changed. It has been consistent with it in every way. There's no telling how many times over the past 25, 26 or so years that we've been together that my picture has been taken. I'm not kidding when I tell you that we have got a 2 foot wide by 3, maybe 4 foot long tub up under the stairs, a storage tub up under the stairs of our house before digital pictures came along, filled with pictures of chronicling our lives together. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures. Every time she would take a picture back in those days, I would complain about it. Oh, I hated it. It just got all over my nerves. But every time, without fail, she would always respond and she would say, "Stop complaining. One day you're going to appreciate this because I am what? Making memories." She said, "I am making memories." Now, don't anybody tell her what I'm about to say right now. Shh. Don't tell her what I'm about to say. And if you do, I'm going to come and get you, okay? So don't tell her this. But you know what? She was exactly right. She was making the memories. Over the years, I've come to the place where I now so deeply appreciate the memories that she has made. I deeply appreciate the way that she has documented our lives together, not only as a couple, but as a family as well. And it's so fun to go back and look at the memories that we have made together. We've made a lot of memories. God has been so good and gracious to us. And in His own way, when we come to this passage of Scripture, I think our Lord is doing the same thing with His disciples, His closest followers, His apostles that are in the upper room this night. I believe that He is telling them it's time to make some memories. I'm going to make some memories with you tonight, Jesus is saying, that is going to impact your life for the rest of your days. It's time, He is saying, to make some memories here at this Last Supper. Folks, we need to remember that a time that we are coming to tonight, it is a time that ought to be sincere in our life in every way. And we don't want to just come to it and pass over it real quick. We just want to come and go through the ritual of it. We want to come to this time tonight and we want to, with a heart of sincerity, stop and acknowledge what Christ has done for us. Now, if all of us were honest, and I hope we will be, if all of us were honest, we would have to say that we're not very sincere with this. We get bombarded all the time, the daily things of life, business, school, or whatever it might be, ministry, whatever. We get bombarded with all of these different things in our minds and our life. Just isn't focused on the cross of Christ the way that it should be. But folks, what we need to do is get back to that. Day in and day out, every day He gives us to live, every beat of our heart ought to be totally consumed with what Christ did for us on Calvary. So tonight, for a little while, let's just set everything aside and do the very best that we possibly can just to set our attention and our affection entirely upon Him. I know some of us here tonight that's got challenges we're facing, whether it be physical, financial, or whatever, got challenges we're facing. Let's just try our best tonight. Set them aside for a few minutes. Join me tonight in just making a few memories of what the Lord has for us. I think the Lord truly will help us from His Word, and I think He'll be pleased with what we do tonight. Write a couple things down for me. First of all, when we look at this Scripture, we see that there is the desired time. The desired time. Now, this is an area of Scripture that is really quite so very interesting because it is giving us the account of Jesus having His Passover supper, the Last Supper, with his followers, the disciples, before he went to the cross of Calvary. This story is given in the accounts of the gospel, and it's given in very specific ways, really, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in this particular setting, this encounter, that we see that Jesus reveals to his disciples that there's going to be a traitor among them. There's going to be somebody that's going to betray Christ. And it's in this passage that all of them are asking, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord?" You may be critical of the disciples, but boy, may we not do that. For if the Lord walked in this place tonight and said to all of us that is in this building tonight, yeah, that somebody's going to betray them, I imagine most of us would start searching our heart. Or we should start searching our life. And we may be asking to ourselves, or maybe even out in a verbal way, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? I don't ever want to betray my Lord. I don't ever want to be a traitor to my God. I want to be faithful to Him day in and day out. And I want to be able to say constantly, 'Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to be true to your things. I don't ever want to be the one that betrays you.' But oh, how often I truly do. How often I go down the wrong path. And when I do, I'm betraying my God. I'm a traitor to His truth. I'm a traitor to the things that He has saved me from." May God help each one of us to be a people that are true to Him with every day of our life. Shortly after this experience, it is true that Judas did betray Him in the garden. Isn't that right? And it was then that the soldiers came. They arrested Him. They carried Him off to trial, to imprisonment, to torture, and then on to the cross of Calvary where He was crucified. While all of these are wonderful truths to consider, they are not the primary thought that I want us to see tonight. Well, we certainly could talk about Calvary, but let's look at this supper for a few minutes and this desired time that our Lord had. Look at verse number 14. "When the hour was come," there was a time when the hour came, a time that it was time for Him to go. And that was what this was. "And when the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him," that's all there was, "and He said unto them, 'With desire I have desired.'" I mentioned that a minute ago. Do you see this, Brother Joel? What do you say? "With desire." It is a present tense. "With desire that I am having." But He said, "I have desired." It's a past tense there. He said, "I currently desire to eat this supper with you, but it's not just a new thing. I've loved you from day one. I've desired this for a long, long time. Oh, it's true, I desire it now, but I have desired you and your presence, your communion and your fellowship from day one. It's my desire to do this before what? Before I go and suffer. I want to be with you tonight. I want to have this time with you. I want to make some memories with you." Jesus came to this point right here where He knew that it was time. Christ knew that it was time. It was time for redemption to be paid. It was time for the foundation of that to be laid upon the cross of Calvary. And Jesus knew now is the time. He sat down for this time of supper with His disciples, His closest followers. He said, "I'm desiring you right now. I want to make some memories with you. Memories that you are going to carry with you for the rest of your life." You see, our Lord knew that those men were going to need that time. They were going to need it to hold on to as they had to go and they had to fight to hold up the mighty cross for the rest of the days of their life. And He knew they needed a moment that they were going to be able to look back to that would impact the rest of the days of their lives. The disciples didn't realize it at this point. They didn't understand all the details at this point. But the Lord desired above all to spend this time with them because He knew it was going to be required for them to be able to finish the race strong that they were going to have to run. I fear that so many of us, likely even all of us, we miss such precious opportunities to spend time with our Lord. Time that He desires with us, and we miss those times. We take this place for granted. This has been on my heart for the past couple of 3 months or so. I hope it has yours, because we've taken this place for granted. We got to where we just piled in the car and sometimes had to make ourselves come to church. But I tell you, when it's taken away from you, there's a hunger that gets in your heart and your soul. And I'm afraid that some of us, though, we just don't appreciate the times that God has given us, like services just like this, But we can come into the house of God. Not only does He desire to meet with us, but we ought to desire to meet with Him. We ought to desire to hear from God. Otherwise, why are we even here? Are we just here to go through the motions? That's what we're talking about this morning. That's all we're doing anymore, see. We're going through the motion. There ought to be a burning sensation within our heart to get to the house of God, to hear from God, that God would move in our heart and move in our soul and stir our spirits to be greater for Him, to go out and do some bigger things for Him. Every time we gather here, it ought to be special as God begins to move. We ought not be uncomfortable when God begins to move. We ought to just get right in line and move with Him. And if that forces us to our knees in tearful repentance, goodness, folks, just do it. Fall down and say, I surrender all, Lord. I want to be faithful to You in every way. He desires these things. And we ought to desire to make some memories with Him that will last for the lifetime that we have. Memories that He can use later on in the darker days of our lives. There have been many times when God's moved in this place, and I tell you, I've stored it away within my heart. I stored it away within my mind. There have been some dark days that I walked through a few weeks and months and maybe years later, where all of a sudden something would come to my mind in the midst of a struggle, and I remembered how God met with us in this place and how that He showed Himself to me, and He gets me through another day. That's what you get in these times. They're special times. And the Lord had a desire here. A desired time. But then there was a delivered thanks. We cannot exhaust this topic. There was a delivered thanks. Jesus had all of His disciples gathered together for this Last Supper. And they are here preparing for the time when He was about to go to the cross of Calvary. But beginning in verse number 17, He starts telling us about the way that He was beginning to give thanks. He was taking steps to give thanks. Look at verse number 17. He said that He took the cup and what? He gave thanks. He took the bread. What? He gave thanks. In every gospel account of the Last Supper, of this special time of the Lord's Supper, in every gospel account and the epistles, most particularly 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and Paul's writing, we will find a premium placed on this matter of giving thanks to God. Thanks for what the Lord has done for us. You see, Jesus was making a priority of and putting a premium on giving thanks to Him. I believe it is so important in our lives today to not forget how much we need to be thankful to the Lord. Not just at Thanksgiving time. Every day that we awaken, every time we open God's Word, every time we go to Him in prayer, every time we gather in the house of God, it ought to be a time blessed in the name of God. Oh, Sister Tiffany, Wednesday night, we were walking out the door. She interrupted. She said, I just got to thank God for something. I need to thank Him for it. I like that. Just giving thanks to God for what God has done for us. This morning, James said, I just need to thank God for something. That's the way it ought to be. Just blessing the name of God for how good and how gracious that He has been to us in our lives. I tell you, it bothers me, though, and I hope it bothers you as well, at the lack of gratitude that we have in our society today. Am I the only one that sees it, or does anybody else see it? Do you not realize we are living in a society that is so ungrateful for everything? I mean everything. There have been times before that I've opened doors for people at the bank or store or whatever. They just walk straight on by like I wasn't even standing there. And thy flesh wants to slam the door on them in Jesus' name. I'd never do it. But boy, it's you know, I'm like, what's the matter with you people out there? I let people over in traffic. You ever have this problem? I let people over in traffic. Anytime somebody lets me over in traffic or lets me out, you know what I do? I immediately try to give them a little nod of some type. Thank you. For letting me, you didn't have to do that, and I want to acknowledge it. Thank you. I tell you, when they don't give me recognition, I want to speed around them and cut them right off again. Again, in Jesus' name, though. I really do. Anybody else like that? Are y'all just, You know, it's hard, isn't it? We got to get right with God tonight, folks, before we have the Lord's Supper. I got in the flesh a little bit on the way here tonight, myself, you know, anyway. But it's tough, and these drivers these days, they don't have a clue, do they? I tell you, there have been times you and I both have probably bought meals for people. We've gone and bought meals for them. They don't even come back and even say thank you for it. Don't even make an effort to say thank you. We've gone and we bought groceries for people before, years and years ago, bought groceries for people. You've done this too. They don't even make an effort to say thank you for it. You might go and you might loan money to somebody. Oh, I'll pay you back and all that kind of stuff. Don't even make an effort to say thank you, much less ever even attempt to pay the money back. We are just in a society that is so ungrateful for everything. And folks, I'm not just talking about this younger generation. They get beat up a lot for this, and there's reason for that sometimes, because truly, so many are not unthankful. I'm talking about those that got wrinkles on their faces too. I'm talking about these older folk that ought to be teaching these younger folk about what gratitude is really all about. Ought to be teaching them to say thank you. It is something that is now woven in the fabric of society that I'm entitled for something, and you are to give me something. No, no, no. You and I deserve hell. We deserve judgment. We don't deserve anything at all, and we ought to be grateful for everything that we have been given. When we think about this society, I truly do believe it goes back somewhere to some leaders one day, whether it be moms or dads or teachers or whomever it may have been, that never taught people to say thank you. Never taught them to be grateful for things. I don't know about you. I am grateful to God. He let me grow up in a home with a mom and a dad who would not let me receive something from somebody and leave the room without telling me to say thank you. And if I ever did, I told you what happened one Christmas morning when my aunt gave me something I didn't want for Christmas. And my words came out of my mouth. I said, I don't like these footy pajamas, that she gave me. Those words no longer came out of my mouth till Dad had my collar up and he carried me to the backyard of that Kentucky house in the snow and he wore me out. I never had another problem after that time with saying thank you. I think some of us need to be reintroduced to the old woodshed out there. Because if we don't do it, God's going to introduce us to it. He's going to take us to that spiritual woodshed and wear us out. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, people in this church, teach these younger people to be grateful. But you got to do it in a way that you are showing it and leading the way as well. I'm thankful so much for how that I was instilled within me an attitude of gratitude when mom and dad were raising me. No matter how insignificant, no matter the magnitude of it, no matter the intensity of it, when somebody does something gracious for me, I try my best to go out of my way to say thank you. Thank you. I don't deserve it. Thank you for doing something for me. It is this attitude that has crept into the church. It is this attitude that has crept into our spiritual lives as well. We are no longer grateful for what our God did for us. We are no longer thankful for the sacrifice of Calvary. He that left the splendors and the glory of heaven and came down to this old filthy, wretched, rotten world to die for a bunch of deserving hell people just like you and I. Who are we not to be thankful to the God of heaven that was willing to give up everything to save you and I from what we deserved? Jesus is here teaching his disciples that they ought to be thankful for the body that is about to be broken, thankful for the blood that is about to be shed, thankful for a God that would love them enough to come and redeem them from hell. Though Jesus taught this, it is very, very obvious to us that many of us have not fully embraced it yet. Are you really thankful for what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross? Are you really thankful for what He continues to do for us in our lives? When was the last time, you put everything in your life on hold, like tonight? When was the last time you put everything else on your life in hold and you just stop and bless the name of God for the goodness that He has shown to you? Just saving you, providing every need we were talking about today, providing every need that we could have ever had in ways we could have never imagined. God has just been good to us and He's just been grateful to us. Worshiped Him for this. I think one of the most meaningful times of worship with thanksgiving that perhaps I have ever had was several years ago, many years ago. 8 or 10 years ago, I guess, this time it was just Melissa and McKenna maybe around, or Mia would have just been a baby. They'd left the house for something, and I was alone, and I tell you, it just seemed like all of a sudden my heart got tender. Have you ever had that before? You're just alone, maybe driving or whatever, and the Holy Spirit just starts dealing with your heart. My heart just got tendered, and for whatever reason, I got overwhelmed with the goodness of God in my life. And I just went and I turned the TV off. I turned the lights off. There wasn't a soul in the house. We were living where we currently were. I remember that. And I just got down on my face before God in my living room. And I just started blessing His name. I started thanking God for everything that I possibly could. I started thanking Him because He loved me. He died for me. He saved me. He spared me from hell. And I just started thanking God over and over and over and over. And I mean, it got good in my living room that night. I started out in one place. I don't know how long it was that I was praying. All I know is I ended up on the opposite end of the living room. I don't know how I got there, but God visited me that night. And I spent however long that was, and I remember so vividly, I did not ask the Lord for one thing.
Amen.
I didn't say, God, give me, give me, give me. God, meet this need of my life. God, show up and provide here. Show up and provide. Wouldn't have been nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what, I spent my time thanking God for the goodness that He'd shown to me. Blessed His name for the times that He had repeatedly showed up in my life. Years ago, the Whistons recorded a song that I've never been able to get past. I remember it when it came out. They sang it at our church for the first time in Chattanooga. It touched my heart that night. And I have memorized the word and rehearsed them in my mind time and time again. It says, Lord, I've come today to thank You. But not for things I've ever mentioned here before. Not for blessings that I've been given. Or the joys that You promised are in store. So as I bow to thank You, give me the words to express my deepest thanks. Not for what You've given, but Lord, for what You took away. Why would He do that? What did He really take away? Well, You took the guilt and shame and all my sinful blame, and You made it as Yours. You opened wide Your hand, and as a guilty man, You wore my crown of thorns. You took the death I earned and all that I deserved on Calvary. Lord, thanks for what You've given, but most of all, thank You, Brent, we should say, for what You took for me. Maybe tonight some of us just need to stop. Maybe tonight we need to make some memories around an old altar and say, dear God, I've been so selfish in my past. I've not acknowledged You for Your goodness. Lord, even if You never did another thing for me, Lord, even if You took me to heaven tonight, if I went into eternity tonight, I'd go into Your sweet presence. God, I don't want to ask You for a thing, but I just want to bow down and bless Your name for how good You've been for me. Some of us tonight just need to thank Him for some things and not ask Him for one thing at all. That's what Christ is teaching His followers. He said, thank You. And then He said, thank You. He said, we got to give thanks. There was a desired time. And there was also a delivered thanks, but there was also, notice thirdly, a displayed testimony that there was. A displayed testimony. Verse number 15, oh, follow it with me. The Lord will help us here. And He said unto them, verse 16, for I say unto you, do you see a little pattern right here? Verse number 17, and He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Okay, there's the testimony again. Verse number 18, for I say unto you. Verse number 19, He goes on to say, and He took the bread and gave what? Thanks, and break it, and gave it unto them, what? Saying. Verse number 20 goes on to say, likewise also the cup after supper, saying. Now, we don't have all of the details of all the dialogue that went on in this particular encounter, but we absolutely do know that there was some. We can study it, and we can see some of the things that were said, but we don't know all of the words that were said. Even though the Scripture tells us that Jesus is the main one who is driving the conversation in the middle of this, we can certainly know that there was verbal interaction with all of the others for a few reasons. Number one, because later on in this particular text, we learned some of the words that were said. But another reason is because Peter was there and them other disciples that were there who just loved to hear themselves talk sometimes. Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut. No matter what was going on, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And so you know there was a lot of dialogue that was going on. Jesus said in verse number 17, take this, he says, take this and divide it among yourselves. They were dividing the bread, which, remember, it was a picture of the body of Christ that was about to be broken. They were dividing it among themselves. And the disciples, though they didn't understand all the details of this, they understood the symbolism. They knew that the Messiah had come. They knew that He was going to be the sacrificial lamb. And they didn't understand all of what they were about to go through. They didn't get all of that, but they realized that something big was about to happen. And it was going to involve the sacrifice of Christ. They knew that Jesus had come to do that. And they knew the symbolism that they were experiencing. You know they did. But even if nobody said a word, in their minds, they were thinking, oh God, thank you so much for this bread that I'm holding in my hands. Thank you, Lord, because it is a picture of the body that you're about to go break for me. Though they may not have had it recorded here, you know that when that cup came around, they said, thank you, Lord, for the blood that you're about to shed for me. Do you understand that bread you're going to hold in your hand in just a moment? It is a symbol of Christ. It is reminding us of what Jesus did on Calvary. That cup that you're going to hold in your hand in a little while, it is a symbol of the blood of Christ. What He shed for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. So when we hold it tonight, we ought to be remembered of a good and a gracious God who broke His body and shed His blood. And they were saying, oh God, I do not deserve your body. I do not deserve to partake in your blood. God, I deserve judgment. I deserve to go to hell. I don't deserve any of this. If they weren't saying it, we can be absolutely assured that they were thinking, it's such an honor, Lord, to be a part of celebrating what you're about to go do. And here we are tonight, May the 24th, in the full light of the revelation of Calvary. We're no longer looking forward as they were 4 or 5 days prior to Calvary. But we're looking back now. He did the work. Humanly speaking, these 12 disciples, they didn't understand what was about to really happen. They didn't know all the details. But yet they were so grateful. And the Lord was teaching them that. Here we are on the other side of this. We have an account of what our blessed God did for us. Should we not be even more grateful? They didn't know that He was about to go be scourged. They didn't know about the crown that was. They couldn't picture that in their minds as we can, even if they tried. I want you to know I've stood at the foot of the place where the blood was shed. I want you to know that changed my life. And I am grateful to God for what He did for me. Now, I want to express that to Him tonight. I want Him to know that my whole heart belongs to Him. And Jesus was testifying. He's saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to break my body. I'm going to shed my blood. And while these guys didn't understand it all right then, Brother Leroy, they didn't understand it all. When we study their lives, we realize that they gave their whole life for Him. And they got a hold of it. That was just 12 or 11 men that did that. What if this group, far, far larger than 11 men, really got a hold of that. Them old boys turned the world upside down, the Bible and the book of Acts goes on to tell us. What could we do if we just really got it? May tonight be a night that we make some memories. Memories of saying, Lord, I'm not going to get up the same. I'm going to go out and make a difference for you because of the difference you made for me. I told you that we're going to do some things a little bit different now. And we're going to try to do this in a little bit of a different way. And it's just going to be us. This isn't going to be online or anything of the sort. And I want you to cut that off now if you would. Just the family of God in this place tonight. A time of reverence